Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Kino Tri Show. Whether it's ratchet or inspirational, dope or disturbing, let's talk about it. You never know who'll stop through. This dude's worldwide. So kick your feet up, relax, and let the libations flow. It's the Kino Tri Show. All the cool kids are listening. Don't be a Stanley.
Yes, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Kino Tri Show. We are in the building. It is Tuesday. I forgot the date. November 17th, I do believe.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I got my partners in crime back in the studio. We got Jamil Harley, a.k.a. Young Bizzle, Young Beige, the light-skinned Mac. And we got Steven Nose is back in the building.
Hey, what's good? What's good?
I don't know where you've been, dog. But
I'm back. I had a little cash flow situation.
Oh, okay.
So I had to take care of some business. But I'm back.
Okay. And our special guest today is Chris Gray. What's up, sir?
Hey, man. Glad to be here. This is cool, man. I really enjoy this setup. This is awesome.
If you guys got comfortable and got some cognac. And
yeah. Loosen me up a little bit here. This is all right.
You about to start cussing in a little bit.
If you guys don't know, Chris is actually black.
Oh, yeah.
I know you probably can't tell from his voice.
Don't let the voice fool you.
Chris is black. After his Facebook post, he is... Man,
what are you mad at, Chris?
You know what's funny? I try so hard to keep my Facebook from being angry.
Yeah.
You know, and it's because, like, it's so much, you know, hate on there already with people. But I try and, like, you know, I want to say something, but I want to still keep it as funny and light as I can. But sometimes it's like, if you'll notice, every now and then I'll post something, and a few minutes later I'm like, no, that's too strong. I'll go back and delete it off.
It's like the ignorance just beats your intelligence up, and you're like, nobody's going to say, well, I will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's funny, man, just like the whole thing of, like, people being scared on social media. And, like, you read about it, and then you see people just fall right into the trap.
Yeah.
You know, like, every single time. But I like kind of seeing those people. Like, I don't unfriend them, I just kind of unfollow them.
Yeah.
But I'm like, they're still out there. I just want to keep you in check so I know what you're up to.
Yeah.
You know,
do you not feel safe the fact that me personally, just because I'm a comedian, I feel like I have a little buffer, since people are like, oh, that's just Steve, he's a comedian, he can say some stupid stuff.
Exactly.
You don't feel that way? You have to delete your posts and stuff?
Well, that's the thing. I want to try and keep it humorous, because I'm not trying to jump up on a soapbox. I'm not trying to really change anybody's mind. You know, I just want to say my piece, my opinion, but, you know, try and find a little bit of humor in it.
Sometimes it's hard to find the humor in the truth, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
When people say some stupid stuff, you be like, if you would just read. And then he's like, like, I just made a post a couple of days ago, and I was like fighting, and I was like, don't say nothing to Jamil, don't say nothing. And I was like,
it's hard sometimes, man. So but that's social media, though. You know what I mean? Because everybody has a voice now, and so it's really hard. You almost have to monitor yourself to not be so reactionary, because you can get caught up in the emotion of it. And that's what, I'm just as guilty. You know, I'll see something and I see red and then I start typing. But then, you know, every now and then I have to, like, stop. You know, let me give myself 5 minutes. I'm gonna compose this response, and then I'm going to come back. If I still want to post it in 5 minutes, then I'll post it.
But after you done revised it 12 times.
Exactly. But then by then, I'm like, this is
not even worth it.
I don't even care enough. If this person was here, I wouldn't even care enough to say anything about it. So I was just like, forget it.
Man, I done deleted a lot of posts. I done started writing.
Yeah, really.
And I got to kind of think about my brand. Like, okay, if I put this out, it's forever. And it could come back and bite me. So, yeah.
Exactly. Especially, you know, like, you're a comedian. And so you do kind of have that filter where people will read your stuff and just kind of automatically assume you're joking about a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of stay in that lane,
yeah,
even if I'm not joking, you know what I mean? But I'm still kind of trying to wrap it in humor. Because I don't want people to unfollow mine because they're like, oh, Chris is getting all political. You know, like, yeah, I may be saying something, but I still want to kind of keep it fun. So even if someone may disagree, they're like, okay, it's still funny. You know,
Chris, come on.
I don't know. That's the thing with me, man. I don't really get too into political or religious stuff to begin with. So
yeah.
That doesn't really make me.
I do. I go. Well, there's a lot of stuff, and Jameel can attest to this, that we send behind the scenes because,
yeah.
You know, like I said, people get angry and, you know, they can't handle the truth. Or people fear change.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you post something that goes against everything they've seen in life, then it can make them feel a certain way.
Even if it's just historical, you didn't make this up.
Right.
People just didn't tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get mad at me. Get mad at your mama for not reading.
Right. You mean the Easter Bunny ain't real?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Ah! I'm going to kill you,
right.
Kino.
Right.
Some of my favorite posts, especially the ones you do, it's like when you don't even put a comment.
Yep.
You just put it there.
Put it there. Yeah.
And it says it on its own. And I'm just sitting there laughing.
Because I can't put a comment because, you know, I can't choose a side. But the people who know me, y'all
yeah.
know what side I'm
yeah,
leaning
yeah.
towards. But sometimes just putting it out there, like you said,
yeah.
says enough. I don't even have to say nothing. But I just want you to think. Just
exactly.
Look at this.
And you could just look at the people who actually aren't with that program, that like their heads probably get ready to explode. I can't believe you put this. Well, let me Google it. Well, he was right.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. My favorite post is like when you post something and you say, I'm just gonna leave this
right
here.
Right. Right.
No,
I'm just gonna set this down right here.
Yeah. Let y'all marinate on it.
Yeah. Yeah. For your consumption.
Yeah.
But that's good. I just want to say, if anybody's listening online, if you want to call in and talk on the show, the number is 607-203-5368. Make sure you press 1. If you press 1, I can see you want to talk, and we'll chime in on the show. One thing I wanted to bring up, man, is it's hot on social media and on everywhere. Them patty cakes. Who has tried patty?
I've seen that blow up today. What's the deal with it?
Apparently,
like,
Patti LaBelle has, was it sweet potato?
Sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie.
Okay.
And this particular gentleman who lives an alternative lifestyle did a video that was actually funny. it was hilarious. And I don't really ask.
You talking about that dude that was saying, oh, Patty!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, that video was hilarious. So
they made another social media star. Now he gonna keep putting that crap out.
Yeah. So he put this video out and it went viral. So it made people say, "Hey, I gotta try this patty cake." If it got this big old burly feminine acting dude singing about it, like I feel like I want some of that pie.
That's the best press.
Yeah.
You just get a big burly brassy. Gay dude just like love your product.
But he was funny. He was funny.
He
that
was like, bitch.
Yeah, bitch.
Like, you don't call Miss Patty a bitch? She probably like, honey, right.
My wife told me today that apparently Patty reached out to this young fellow and said that she recently had auditions and she was mad that he missed it because he can actually sing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And Patty is known for, you know, holding auditions.
Yeah,
so taking them on the road.
Yeah,
backup. Yeah, she gets. I had a cousin who sung backup for Patty, and he thought he made it, but she would tell you too. Like, I'm the star.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I joke a bit into that pound like on my own.
Yeah.
I'm on my own, Patty.
Yeah, it is hilarious. So look it up if you haven't seen it. I don't like sweet potato pie personally, but I feel like I gotta try it.
I love sweet potato pie, but you know it tripped me out. Out of all the things that we need to do, if you put a video behind it, we'll go do the stupidest stuff.
Yeah.
Like everybody's like, I gotta go get a pie.
Yeah.
How about you go get an economic book and do something better with your money? Not to say not to support Patty, but
yeah,
I love how you said
that.
Economic book.
Economic.
Yeah. Economic book and learn about some money or something.
Well, you know, it's hard to work. Chris and I just had this conversation before everybody showed up about moving forward, what you need to do in your life. It's easy to come home and chill, especially if you've gone to a job all day and you're tired.
Yeah.
So it's easy to,
to
be irresponsible. So
especially, you know, for us, because a lot of us still have day jobs.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, you put in your 8, 9, 10 hours, whatever it is, you get home, and then you're gonna go out and do a show or something else. Every now and then, if you have that night, and you're like, especially if it's a late show, like a 10 o'clock show. and you get home at 6:30, and yep. I'm like, all right, I'll go do that show. And then you get comfortable about 9 o'clock. I'm like, nah, I'm not leaving the house.
Because then you start thinking about last time I was there, there was nobody there.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, ah, what do I want to go do that for? You
know? I'm not getting paid. Nah.
Hey, dig this, player.
Yeah, I'm sick right now, man. I just came up with something. Oh, can't be there. Can't be there.
Steve is sneaky with the shows. Like, he won't tell nobody. I just look up, hey, what's up, man? Then he'll do his time and be like, where's Steve? He done disappeared into the night.
I come in. I'm like a little ninja, man. Just come in, do my set. You know, thank you very much.
You get the last and you hear. Then he's out.
Lately, it's been crickets, but you know, yeah.
Just tired, squealing in the parking lot.
I call that ghosting out. Like, I can't say bye to everybody. I'm gonna say, say real quick, you know, one or two people.
The closest people by the door, I am. I'm gonna holler at you.
Yeah. What's so funny? We were at a venue the other day, and I'm not gonna say the venue, but Steve told me, oh, yo, I'm about to get out of here, and so. I was like, I thought he was gone. So eventually, I'm about to leave, and he's sitting by the door. And I'm like, I thought you were out of here. He was like, yeah, let me talk to you about something outside real quick. So he didn't want to walk out in front of it because there was a bunch of people back there.
He wanted to make it
managers,
like,
owners.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not non-supportive of the entire show.
Yeah.
Keno, let's talk.
Right. Yeah, Keno, I got a project I need to talk to you about, dog. Just go outside real quick.
Okay.
And I'm not coming back.
You said, and scene.
Well, I'm supportive, so I walk out. I don't give a damn. I feel like I put in the work. I try to support people, so.
Yeah. I stayed there as long as I possibly could. that was longer than I probably could have, like an extra hour.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Like, because I remember, you know, met you guys back in like 07 when I started. And then, like, I used to hang out a lot because you're trying to, you know, meet people.
Network,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, network and everything else. But. Now, man, I don't know. I don't know if it's just like getting older or what, or if you just have stuff to do.
It's a little bit of everything. You just get burnt out and you got stuff to do.
Yeah, so you like want to work on your stuff, and then I'm like, I'm out, man. And then especially since there are so many new comics.
Oh, yeah.
Every 6 months.
Every season.
Yeah, there's a new batch.
Yeah.
So then there's like, you know, just like a room of strangers. And I'm like, unless I see somebody I know, I'm out, mm-hmm. you know. And then even then, I'm like, we both got to get to work tomorrow, right? He's like, yeah, let's get out of here.
Me, it's like, unless you make me laugh, then I'm like, oh, all right. Well,
and then too, it's kind of like, okay, it's like having a relative that ain't no good. Like, you'll take that from a relative. So the people you started with, even if they ain't get better, you'll take their BS because it's like they're like a cousin now.
Yeah,
but
it's the devil you
folks,
know.
Yeah, right. These new folks, and you got to hear the stuff you heard from
especially
people you
already
know.
Especially when they start reciting hack jokes. You'd be like, oh, you're going to do this one? There was this one guy that was performing, and I hit Landry up. I was like, I think that was Dave Chappelle we just saw on stage. And what was crazy is I just watched a Dave Chappelle special, and I was like, wow.
He took the jokes verbatim.
You know what? New comics don't really. I don't think they know any better.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'll admit, when I first got on stage, the first thing I was like, "Have you ever taken a shit?" And then like, bingo, that's Richard Pryor, buddy. Yeah. Get off the stage. No, I never did that on like a real show, but I was always practicing. Like, I'm gonna get up there and say this.
Yeah.
And Richard Pryor will come out.
Hell yeah! Because everybody, you have that influence or that person that in the back of your head you're kind of copying.
Yeah,
you know, when you get up, like, I see a lot of Bill Burrs out there with new comics. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of, you know, 20 somethings trying to be Louis CK, and I'm like, no, that's a 40 something man. You can't really pull that off. You can't pull off the my kids stories like he does.
You don't have a kid.
Exactly.
You're still whacking off in your sock. You don't have
That's like, but you can always kind of see like who somebody's, especially for newer comic, I can always kind of see like, oh, they're watching a lot of, you know, Patton Oswalt just by kind of their cadence. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I did that too. There was somebody I think when I started, I was watching like a lot of Dave Attell.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd get out there and you almost have him in his voice in your head when you, even jokes you've written, you know, like you're just like, how would Dave say this, mm-hmm. you know? And then I guess it took a while to kind of break out of that, just to get comfortable and then just start being
your own voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, also, man, you guys, I mean, answer your question earlier. I mean, I don't know if it's because I'm getting old or what, but getting burnt out. But I'm not as enthusiastic about my shit as I was year one, year two.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so meeting these people and, you know, being networking and all that stuff, me now, I'm just like, yeah, okay. But before, like, year one and two, I was like, you saw me, I was staying at the shows, handing out fortune cookies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm never going to do that again. You kidding me?
But you know what? I admired your hustle. I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, you like that. Yeah.
I was like, merchandising.
Merchandising, see, at an open mic.
Yeah. But I was like, yeah, right? But it was one of those things where I was like, okay, here's somebody. I was like, he's thinking outside of the box, and no one else is doing this. Uh-huh. And I for a while, I even thought, like, okay, where can I hand out?
Yeah. Hey, Steve, what vendor do you go to?
But it was like, but I was like, I don't know. You know, I don't have anything that I can just hand out, because every time I hand something out, I'm like, all right, that's 5 cents. You know, like, whatever it is, I'm counting it. You know?
Right. If you'd like to make a donation to the Chris Gray Foundation.
But it's, yeah, but I guess you do kind of have to keep finding your enthusiasm.
Somewhere, man.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's why, like, I took a break from stand-up for a while and did improv and sketch and just something different. You know, it's kind of like when you go to the gym. It's just like, if you keep doing the same exercises over and over, your body kind of gets used to it. Yeah. So you kind of want to change it up. So you kind of have to, you know what they call it, muscle confusion or whatever. So
I need comedy confusion.
Yeah, comedy confusion.
Every night.
Yeah. So yeah, it's one of those things. Let me ask you guys this. I can't watch.
5 inches.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, sorry,
all right.
Go ahead.
All right. Let's go with that. 5 inches. You know, you got three.
Paul.
You got 3.5 on me.
So many levels.
Sorry, didn't mean to confuse you with numbers there, Jamil.
But
ahead.
How do you guys, as far as I can't watch stand up comedy like on Netflix or anything.
No.
Like, I can't watch, like, it has to be, like, to me, stand up is, it's audio. I can listen to somebody's album. I can listen to a podcast, or I can go to a live show. But to watch, I'm burnt out on watching videos. For stand up.
Well, you got to look at it like this: the average video you watch, you got to think about it. It's staged all the way down to the movements, to what jokes they're gonna do. They're gonna have a set. It's not like watching it live. And you can only watch so many staged.
What do you mean it's staged?
Kind of like, okay, they're only gonna. Let's just say clean, like it's not even a special. Like Comedy Central puts out all these 30-minute videos, and you see half these comics, and you be like, how did they get a show? So,
oh, it's the same show. They're just cycling through them with the same audience.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just going off. Most of the videos we watch is pretty much the same type. You got to keep it clean. You can't get rough and raw, down and dirty, because most of the comics I've seen on those shows, when you go to their live show, it's down and dirty.
Filth, foreign filth.
Yeah. So that might be a different take, but that's why I don't watch a lot of the videos. So
yeah, or maybe just the ones I'm watching are that good, because I'm like, I went when Bill Burr was here, his new special that's on Netflix now, that was shot in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
It was here at the Tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to that show. That show was fantastic. He did like 2 hours of material. Mm-hmm. And then it was fun to watch what they cut it down to 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
So the live show was fantastic, and I think his special it doing it in black and white, and he kept like the A material that was in the live show. That show I can watch. But I don't know. There's just some on there. And like I said, maybe it's, you know, like I tried to watch it, like Angela Johnson. And oh, have you seen the new Chris Tucker one on Netflix?
I watched it. It was decent, but it wasn't what you expected. I thought it was decent.
Well, my thing, I don't know. It's like The Shine is worn off Chris Tucker, you know what I mean?
You're not in like a laughing environment when you're at home.
Right, you're in your living room.
Because you had a show, you're like, it's a comedy show, I'm here to laugh of all these other hundreds of people.
Right.
Then it's infectious. But if you're sitting there by yourself, or just you and your girl, I mean, you might laugh, but you're not going to laugh as hard as you would be if you were sitting there at that show.
Right. But I feel completely different when I'm just listening to it audio. Like if I have my earbuds in and I'm listening to someone's comedy, and maybe it's because I can hear the laughs and, you know, it's that theater, the mind thing. I enjoy that so much more than trying to watch a video.
Hmm.
So it's just, I don't know. It's one of those things where I was just, you know, it's tough for me. Unless someone just has a fantastic special. Like I've heard the new John Mulaney one is good. I haven't watched it yet.
I've heard of that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll get to it sometime this weekend. You know, but yeah, it's just hard for me. That's one of the things I wondered if other comics.
I'll
felt
say
that
this:
way.
I have been on a hiatus from watching stand up, unless you're my peer, somebody
yeah.
that I like or somebody I know. And I was reading this book, and it was talking about how people pull from the greats, that they aspire, not necessarily steal, but mm-hmm. they aspire to. And so what I've started doing was I started to challenge myself to look at some of the comedians, the stars, that they use their voice in a similar vein that I want to use mine. Because
yeah.
the stuff I want to talk about isn't really always funny. It's going to make you mad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so I want to watch somebody that can say some stuff that I want to say and see how they deliver and how they work it up and then give it to you to where you're not mad. You're laughing like, I'm going to whoop his ass, but that is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got to realize, too, is that they already have their audience.
Well, I ain't worried about that.
Not necessarily. I mean, me and Jamil talk about this all the time because he does come across angry. And I'm like, and I tell other people this, you could give people your message. It's all about the package you put it in. Like, you got to wrap it in a way that doesn't seem aggressive. But if you come out, man, I hate this, I hate that, and I'll punch your mama. It's
yeah. Plus, if you listen to like Chappelle and Bill Burr, them my two top people that I'm watching right now, Chris Rock, Chappelle, and Burr. When you look at them, well, Bill Burr, he's really to the – I would probably be killed if I said half the stuff to Bill Burr.
Oh, absolutely.
But when you look at what Dave Chappelle says, he don't need a – the way he fixes his material – he doesn't need a following for the stuff that he says to be funny because the way that he packages it and puts it up. Like, he said some stuff that was, I bet if I would have had a similar joke and put it like that, I could have got away with it because the way he does it so eloquently and the way he structures. So I've now started to watch them, not necessarily to steal, but just to see how they format and see, you know, the words, that, how they're using their words.
Yeah. You know what I've noticed? Because I love Bill Burr, but one of the things I've noticed about how he does it is he always kind of prefaces it with, I'm an idiot, I don't read, you know what I mean? So he's kind of, you know, so you're like, oh, this guy isn't that smart. But then he winds up saying something
profound.
Yeah, but it's one of those, like, where he comes at it from, when you look at kind of like status, you know, and that I don't know, it's almost a cliche thing when they say in comedy, you know, punch up but not down.
Mm-hmm.
So by him taking on that status of, I'm an idiot, I don't know anything, I don't read, don't applaud, follow somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says something that like instantly lowers them, where people, you know, people think they're smarter than they are. And they're like, oh, this guy doesn't read, I know more than him.
Bow, bow, and, bow, bow, bow.
Exactly.
You start tapping that ass.
Yeah. And so it's one of those I've noticed. I'm like, maybe that's what he's doing. Because I'm like, if you came from it of this like anger and, you know, I'm going to, you know, talk down to you about this, then people instantly close up, you know. But he's kind of lowered himself to where he's like, I'm a dummy, you know, what do I know?
Yeah.
You know,
but and then, that's the same thing that, well, say what you want about Bill Cosby, but I heard this thing a long time ago how this guy was making millions and millions of dollars, of course. But he was able to bring himself down to people's level because he's talking about how his daughter is going to college and everything and
paying for it,
everything. He made people forget that he's a millionaire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing. Like, you know, despite recent events, Cosby is still one of the greatest
comedians.
And it's one of those things, like, I'm still trying to reconcile that internally. You know, like,
I ain't got to reconcile. I'm right with Cosby.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, yeah, he's the one of the greatest. I don't agree with what he's apparently been doing. But I'm like, but the man's comedy is
same
solid.
Thing, like Pete Rose. They won't let Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, but he got the numbers.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. Like, you can't deny Cosby.
Now, what did Pete Rose, he was betting or something?
Yeah, he was betting on the game. Pete Rose was slimy, boy.
Oh, yeah, he was betting. But now, look, FanDuel and DraftKings, like, it's legalized. People are betting on sports all the time.
Well, it was just a conflict of interest. He was actually the Reds manager while he was betting.
He never bet on the Reds, though. He would bet on other games.
So what did he get in trouble for then? Because it's not like he cheated with his team.
I think he was winning bets.
Yeah, he was probably winning. And at the same time, okay, he wasn't betting on the Reds, but he's a coach. I'm sure he got insides. And,
oh, yeah.
Injuries, all that stuff. And
yeah.
His players probably tell him what's going on because they keep in contact with other players.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He had an edge. So,
man, as much money as fantasy sports makes now, especially with, you know, FanDuel, DraftKings, and they're, you know, you watch the football games now and they got FanDuel and DraftKings ads in the stadium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they are making millions.
Yeah.
Somebody on those coaching staffs on these teams are feeding these organizations information.
Well,
With the amount of money they're making, everybody's got their price.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's got their price. If you're, you know, second assistant to the head, you know, to the defensive coordinator, and you know, you're like, you know, and somebody's like, hey, man,
I deserve some of that money.
Yeah.
You know, FanDuel and DraftKings just had that scandal where
their employees.
Their employees was giving tips to each other. And,
No, it was if you work for FanDuel, what you do is that with your insider tips that you already know, what you do is you sign up for DraftKings.
For DraftKings.
And win money on DraftKings.
Why could not get that? Why could not be right there? And it wasn't illegal. So
No.
I don't even know. Did they fire the employees?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think that kind of initiative should be rewarded in an organization. Like, all right, you got over.
Well, we only get your bonus this year. You've gotten enough.
Exactly. But I like your thinking, Johnson.
Right.
You know, I like what you bring into this organization. You're thinking outside of the box. Why would I get rid of a good employee like you?
Don't do it again, though. Don't do it again. That's your ass.
Exactly.
That's your ass, Mr. Postman.
Yeah. Tell me if you come up with another idea, please bring it to me and let's discuss it. And let's make that paper, man. Let's make that paper.
So. Hey, did anyone of you guys see my girl, Ronda Rousey?
Rousey? Oh,
get knocked out?
Yeah.
Oh,
you
my God.
You see that?
Yeah, buddy.
Woo.
Dude, the whole – if you have eyeballs, you saw something from internet to TV.
I mean, she didn't get knocked out. She got
high nuke it.
Oh.
I mean, for, you know, a round and a half, I mean, she got pegged.
She got.
It wasn't like a lucky hit. Like, I mean, she got knocked.
Oh, no.
You know?
It was one of those where I didn't watch the fight when it was on, when it was live.
Yeah, of course.
But, of course, you know, I started looking on social media, and it was like, you know, Rousey and Holm. I was like, what happened? And then, of course, all you got to do is Google it, and you can find the video.
Man,
I watched it, and Holly Holm.
Yeah,
from,
she's a boxer. She got skills.
Oh, dude.
17
she was,
years.
Yeah. She was – it was classic. It was like Sugar Ray classic boxing. Like, Rousey came out there. She didn't even want to touch glove.
No.
And I was already kind of like, all right.
Yeah, because she knew that knockout was coming.
Yeah. And then she went out there, and she was chasing her the whole time.
Yep.
And Holm just – she just stayed in the pocket and went out, pop.
Yeah.
You know, just like Sugar Ray, man, she bloodied that nose within a few minutes, and I was like, oh, here we go.
That's the most devastating female fight I've seen today. Now, I've seen Layla Ali whoop some chicks up, but what Rousey got?
Oh, man. Dude, there was one point in the fight, because Holm, she was, dude, I swear it was like Sugar Ray Ali. She was slipping her punches.
Yeah, slipping her punches. Yeah.
And there was that one where she came at her and she tried to come at her with the kick.
And
Holm moved and Rousey kind of stumbled.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
And you could see it when she turned around. She was like,
this bitch.
Yeah. It was like she was like, I'm gonna get this is my best move.
Yeah.
And she did it and it didn't work. And she was like, and you could tell she was like, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, you can see the frustration.
Well, the thing too is that they, I think Rousey tried to take her down. She got frustrated and actually got in a clinch and tried to take her down, but she couldn't.
Yeah, yeah. Holm actually lifted her up and put her down.
Put her
and
down,
I was
which is
She was. It was like every bag of tricks she tried, and like Holm had an answer for it.
Well, Holm, so Rousey must have been fighting some lousy chicks then.
What are you talking about?
No. I think it was a complete difference of style.
Yeah.
The MMA is. It's kind of that, you know, like when we were kids, like, what would happen if Muhammad Ali fought Bruce Lee? You know, so it was.
Holly was a real boxer. She's a real boxer. So everybody that Ronda has fought thus far has been MMA, which is I'm going to attack you the same. Get you on the ground.
Yeah.
Like Tyson. Tyson lost because he finally had somebody who lasted the first three rounds, and it was like, oh, shit, now what I do? I ain't knocking him out. And the same thing with her. You can see it in the fight. Like, I'm going to end this.
Well, I think Rousey wanted to prove something because she's been talking about, I train with world-renowned boxers all the time. So now that she's fighting this world champion boxer, Holly Holm, you got to realize Ronda Rousey has only been fighting boxing for like 3-4 years.
Oh yeah,
Holly Holm, 17 years.
Oh yeah, she's not a boxer. And Holly Holm not only was already a world-ranked boxer, then she went and became a world-ranked kickboxer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Rousey is not a boxer. Like she wants to get you down on the ground.
Yeah.
And a couple times and Holm, you know, they got down for a minute and Holm pulled out of it and stood right back up.
What?
And oh man,
one thing Rousey is now though is a loser.
Gotta get stitches on
her
top lip.
I heard her jaw got broke. Is that true?
No, she had the stitches on her top lip.
Her lip got
They say reconstructive surgery. She needed reconstructive.
Apparently, when she got off the airport, she was covering her face because it was so beat up. She didn't want people taking pictures.
She
looked like Martin on that episode where he fought
Marvin Hagler.
Was it Hagler?
He fought.
And he had a big old head.
He had a big old head. Gina, my bad.
How can you be arrogant after you get whooped like that?
Dude, I don't understand because they're already talking about a rematch.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, like,
why would I want to see that again? Like,
but this is the thing, like, Rousey had never, she was undefeated. This is her first loss.
Yeah.
And if she actually takes the rematch, I admire that. Like, I mean, I'm like, look, if you don't knock my lights out, I'm going to be very hesitant.
I mean, you got to realize, man, Rousey's been, answer your question, she was champion, like, what, 5-6 fights, all, like, under 1 minute?
Oh, yeah.
Beating these girls, like, dominating. Under 1 minute.
Yeah. And she's made enough. She's made millions.
Oh, yeah. So she just signed a stupid deal, right, with somebody. I forgot. She just signed an endorsement.
Monster Energy, I think.
Yeah. So she's got enough money. She doesn't have to work anymore.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, you know, kind of, you know, what do you, you know, I'm like, well, if I have millions, I'm like, what do I need to get back out there?
If she fights Holly again and loses, her career is over.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but did you hear, because, you know, she had beef with Floyd Mayweather.
That was fake.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Floyd came out and said, hey, if you need some boxing tips or need somebody to help you coach boxing, I'm more than happy to do it. Like, legit. you know.
Yeah. That, I mean, a rematch. Well, that's the thing. The rematch will automatically make more money.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, think about when Tyson got knocked out. Like, it was getting to the point where you almost didn't want to.
He didn't ever get knocked out, though.
Buster Douglas.
Yes, he did. Buster Douglas.
Yeah. Took him down.
In China. Was it China or Japan? It was one of them.
But it was one of those, like, because it had gotten to that point with the Tyson fight where you didn't even want to pay for pay-per-view because you're like, man, it's only going to last 30 seconds.
You're going to be watching replays for the next 20 minutes.
Exactly. And so, like, the Rousey fights were like that. Like, she was taking people down so quickly. And, you know, so, and now, if they rematch, people are like, oh, yeah, this isn't going to be a 60-second fight. This is going to be, you know, longer. So now you want to tune in because it's a rematch. See if she's learned something. See if she brings something new.
See if she get kicked in the head one more game.
Oh, man.
I think Rousey got ignorant and tried to be cool and try and knock out world champion when she should have just done judo.
Yeah.
Right off the top.
Holly Holm had her, like in boxing, you know, you want to take, you know, everybody kind of has a plan. So Holly, you could tell Holly had her fighting her fight.
Yeah.
You know, and because she was trying to chase her around, and I was just like, no, you've pretty much forgotten everything that you came here to do, and now you're struggling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this doesn't look good, and yeah, man, when she turned her around, like her eyes were off of her.
Yeah, she was like,
I was like, and like I could feel it because I was just like, I was like, if it's gonna happen, this is when. And when she that leg came around, I was like,
night, night,
that.
I've seen that on stage. I've seen some comics turn around and you see that look in their eyes.
Oh, that look.
Help me.
Yeah, help me.
Man. Help me.
You know what? Going back to comedy real quick. Did y'all know that Richard Pryor had quit comedy? At one point, like, he basically got fired. Like, he is at Invite Vegas. He was trying to be like the Cosby.
Yeah, he was trying to be Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he looked at the crowd and he seen it was all these white people looking at him, and they was looking at him. He didn't, like, to him, he felt like a clown.
Yep. He
walked off stage and then he got barred from from pretty much comedy, period. And he went to Berkeley University.
Oh, yeah.
And he got involved in, like, the hippie movement and like, the pro-black and all that stuff. And then he started to develop his voice. And that's when the Cosby that we know and love was like, nyang.
Yeah.
I read, I watched that documentary. I was like, I have his autobiography, and that's not mentioned in there.
Who would mention it?
Dude, I'm telling you, man, when you read, there's a good book out now called The Comedians that I just bought. I've been reading about these old comics. But Richard Pryor, Carlin, mm-hmm. and Rodney Dangerfield, all of them at some point quit.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, kind of like you were saying, like, they were just like, this isn't what I want to do. Uh-huh. So they quit. And then, I mean, Rodney Dangerfield went and sold sheet metal.
Right. He got hot when he was 40-something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he came back late in the game.
Yeah, because he was Jack Roy, and then he came back as Rodney Dangerfield. But it's one of those things where you can hit a point where you're just like, I don't like – and I kind of hit that point a few years ago. I was just like, I don't like anything I'm doing.
Right.
And, but that's because you're trying to conform – to what you think that the system wants you to do.
Exactly. Or I had this archetype in my head of, like, this is the kind of comedian I'm trying to be. And the more I move closer to that,
I was far from who you really are.
Yeah. And, like, even the material, like, even jokes I had that were working, and I'm just like, man, I know this joke works, and
it hurts to do it.
Yeah. I don't,
and when they laugh, you be like, shut up.
Yeah.
They ain't funny.
Ain't funny. Yeah.
Stupid ass.
Oh, yeah.
I did that when I first got into comedy.
Yeah.
I'm a grown man.
But it's like, yeah, I stopped. And now, like, trying to come back it's hard, man. Like,
yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, because it's. Because you almost, like, when I'm up there bombing, I almost want to slip back and grab one of those old jokes that I know work, because I just don't want the silence to be there. But I'm like, no, don't do it. Just
I'm a man.
Yeah, stay here. Enjoy it. It's going to suck, man. Like, you just, like, think back to, like, your first year.
Yeah.
It sucked. And then you just have to go through it.
You got to fight through it. All right, we're going to take this moment to take a break. I got to put a new battery in the camera. For those listening online, if you want to call into the show, the number is 607-203-5368. Make sure you press 1 so we know you want to talk. And we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Keno Tri Show.
Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up. Packs now. I just did 3 in a row. Them shows is back to back to back now. Put the world on a sound. You know, party in the weekend. Ain't got no motherfucking time. The party on the weekend. Tell Jello, bring the juice. We about to get lit. Fill the room up with some things. One night open, this is it.
Always working overtime. Overtime and not on time. Shit is crazy back home. It kills me that I'm not around.
I think we getting too deep. Shit I'm talking might be too true. Upstairs, I got Zans in the Advil bottle. I don't take them shits, but you do. So I got them for you.
I don't need the pills. I'm just gonna have another drink.
And when I'm putting work in on the weekend, I look back on this and think how we had the club going up
on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Working Monday night on the corner flipping hard.
made at least 3,000 on the boulevard. I've been working graveyard shifts every other weekend. Ain't got no fucking time to party on the weekend. I've been flipping in the house, making jugs on the highway. I've been riding out of state, making money like my way. I don't think that I should dance. I'm just gonna have another drink. I'm doing my stance. You know my Molly pink. I got the loudest of the loud. You know my gas stink. My P.O. think I'm in the house. Don't give a damn about what she thinks. Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Got the club going up.
You know what but like,
yes, we are back on the Keno Tri Show. With Chris Gray in the building.
Yeah, here I am.
So, are you a football fan? Have you been?
You know what? I took a break from fantasy football and everything last, because man, it was consuming my life, man.
I would never do fantasy, man.
It was
never ever.
It was that was the thing. I don't know. It just consumed your life, man. And every day you're checking stuff and who you're gonna put in your lineup, and I was like, man, I just want to watch the games and like hang out.
See right there. Like, I had a buddy who was playing fantasy football one time, and then I was watching the game itself.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, he said they could have just went in for the touchdown, but he's like, no, why did you go for a touchdown? I wanted them to kick a field goal because, you know, I have a kicker in my fantasy. I was like, what? What are you talking about, man? Watch the game. It's a touchdown, dude.
It changes the game so much because people are now looking at individual players and what they're doing instead of, like, watching a team.
Oh, yeah.
And, I love watching a team. Yeah, you know, there's individual players that you like watching, too, but I'm rooting for a team, you know? I like watching the hometown team. I like watching the Falcons. I like watching the Hawks. I love watching the Hawks.
Yeah.
Man, the Hawks, we don't have any, you know, big-name superstars. Yeah. It's kind of like watching, like, the Hoosiers got an NBA contract, you know. It's just
and we're
like,
killing it now, aren't we?
Yeah, Hawks are good. They went out and got, what is his name, Thiago Splitter? And he's a real big man, and that was what they were lacking. It's going to be real interesting if he can stay healthy when it comes to the playoffs, because that was the missing piece.
Yeah.
Now, they let that one dude go. Was it Collins? Was that his name?
Perro.
No, it didn't do with the dreads.
The defensive guy.
Oh, Carroll.
Was it Carroll?
Damari
Carroll.
Damari Carroll. Yeah. They let him go. But, I mean, it looked like they still hadn't missed a beat.
Yeah.
So, shit, look at me knowing athletes.
Athletes.
No, it's fun, man. I always have a rule where, you know, I can only root for a team for a city I've lived in.
Okay.
You know
Thank
what I
you.
Mean?
Yeah, Thank that's, you.
I always find it weird when people – You know, I love the Giants. Oh, man, have you used to live in New York? No, never been there. You know what I mean? Or what's really weird here in the South are the college teams.
Right.
You know, like people are like, I'm a UGA fan. Oh, did you go to UGA? No, I went to Kennesaw State. Well, man, why are you rooting
for the Georgia Perimeter?
Nah, in the South, it's much different. It's like, you're like, oh, yeah, I like UGA. Oh, did you go to UGA? I ain't gone to college. Yeah. What the hell are you doing?
Exactly.
I know this guy got a University of Miami tattoo on his arm.
And never went to
university.
Wow.
Dude, that is crazy.
Nope.
I can't. I have given up on college football. I can't watch anymore. I went to University of Florida, so I was deep into SEC games and everything.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
Now you like.
Dude, I can't watch it now because it's. I'm watching children play.
Yeah.
Like when I watch now and I'm like these players, they were all born in like 1997.
Yep.
And I'm like,
yep.
Dude, I was out of college by then. I was like, I'm watching children. Yeah. I can't.
Wow, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
So I was like, in high school.
Yeah.
So you from Florida?
Yeah, I'm from Orlando.
Orlando.
Yeah.
So, oh, I was in Orlando a few weeks ago. Boy, that is Disney. They need to change the name of Orlando to Disney.
Dude, it's
over. Mickey runs that town.
I tell you what's crazy about Orlando. Back in, was it 2003, when there were like three hurricanes or something went across the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And I was working down in Miami, and my mom lives up in Orlando. And, you know, after the storms and everything passed, I was like, all right, I need to go up, check, you know, make sure mom's okay. And you're driving up I-95 and the turnpike, and as you're getting into Orlando, like all the highway signs, like, you know, like, oh, exit signs, they're gone. Like,
wow.
They've been ripped up. They're gone. So you're kind of like, I'm looking for landmarks. To, you know, like, which exit do I get off on? But when I got there, downtown Orlando, dark. They had no power.
Wow.
Disney, burning bright. and it's hilarious because Disney has its own power supply,
of course
power
they
grid.
Do. Of course they do.
So the city of Orlando started buying power from Disney to siphon over to the city.
Wow.
Yeah, but Disney's no joke. Disney is the only private entity that owns their own airspace. You can't fly a plane over Disney World.
You know they're going to do? Goofy going to shoot it down?
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you seen that castle?
Dude, I'm telling you, man, it's crazy how much money that organization has. They have there's a suburb that out there in Orlando. It's called Celebration. It's on Disney property. You can buy a house and live there and everything. You want to talk about an HOA? Like, they've got their own police. They got their own fire department.
Wow.
But it's all Disney and it's called Celebration. But yeah, you.
What do the homes look like?
Typical Florida, you know. Stucco, pastel color, you know, thing like Edward Scissorhands neighborhood.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's Disney. So, like, you can't paint your house, you know, or, you know, it has to, everything has to be, has to be approved by Disney.
I was surprised at how much land Disney has.
Like,
to go into the parks, the Disney park itself, you could drive 5 miles and be on their property and not even make it to a park yet.
Like, dude. Yeah, when you first get on, like, when you pay the parking, and then it's like you drive, you're like, man, we still haven't gotten to the parking lot yet.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the parking lot, you got to get a shuttle to get to the train that'll take you into the park. You're like,
so
where?
When you drive in, if it's not a parking lot, what is it?
You're driving on the access road to go in. You'll start seeing parking lots, but those aren't the ones you're parking in. You're parking in whichever, and they
that's
got people lining them up. Yeah.
It's huge. I mean, when the CEO of Disney, and his name escapes me right now, but when the CEO brought Disney back, because they were in trouble. They were in trouble, and this was probably almost 10 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But when he brought Disney back, his bonus that year was $250 million, $250 million. That was his bonus for, I guess, their
that wasn't even
year.
His salary. That was a bonus.
Yeah. When they started turning a profit again, his cut was $250 million. And you know, that kind of money really doesn't give a CEO incentive to stay. Like, I've made enough money to live the rest of my life, but he stayed. So
he's still there?
To make another $250 million.
He's still there to this day. I don't know who the CEO is.
Yeah,
but that guy probably a billionaire after running Disney. I mean, it was.
I mean, look at just the properties that they own. I mean, Pixar. Is part of Disney. Lucasfilm. They own Star Wars now.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean,
they own ABC.
They own ABC. Yeah.
And ESPN. That means ESPN too.
I don't know if ESPN.
It's all, like, under,
yeah, I think they're.
It's all under
are
the
they? Because they do have. They have a Wild World of Sports. That's ABC.
That's
Wild
ABC.
Wild World of Sports is. They have a whole their whole menu on the Disney property.
They may have a little piece of ESPN.
And they were building like their own Atlantic station, because we went and hung out there that night. So it's all new. And I mean, you got a bowling alley in there, Planet Hollywood, all these places, and all of them have the mouse somewhere. The mouse.
Yep.
A nickel's bag gets sold in the park. He wants in.
He gets his taste.
I got that Mickey purple cushion.
So Mickey is running Florida. That's why I was like, they might as well change Orlando to Disney.
It really is. I mean, growing up in Orlando, there's, you know, Orlando, like downtown and everything. And then Disney which is technically, God, like 10 miles away.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost its own thing. It's just in the greater Orlando footprint.
Yeah. And let me say this. I went to Disney as a child. I went to Magic Kingdom probably as a 7-8-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay. My wife wanted to go to Magic Kingdom while we were down there. We went. When I say we went on some of the little exhibits, the rides, they're not really rides. You're just rolling through exhibits.
Yeah.
They have not changed one thing.
Yep. There's stuff that's still just like
one
it was.
Thing. And I mean, this is 30 years ago. Yeah. 30 years ago. Like, what I really noticed, we rode through, it's a small world.
Yep.
It's just a boat ride.
Oh,
and
I've
you
been
can
there,
see
yeah.
all the puppets. Same freaking puppets. I bet you, because I got old picture books from my mom's house. And I bet you when I go, it's same stuff. I reckon I was like, oh, my God. And you can look at the carpet. It was all twisted.
Oh,
up,
yeah.
Like,
the old Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, this is the same stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But $105 a ticket per person.
And that's $105.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
That's a bill.
How much it costs to park?
$20. They hit you for the $20.
Yeah.
$105 to get in the park, and then they overprice the food, which is pretty much slop.
It's, oh yeah.
I mean, in Magic Kingdom, I heard some of the other properties have better food, but it's garbage. It's,
yeah.
All the food is garbage. It's fast food, sugary snacks.
I mean, the margins on those are, I mean, God.
Yeah, So
1000%.
Yeah. So.
So seriously, it cost them like probably 20 cents to make, and they sell it for $10.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
it's a killing, and you know, and this is the model for most theme parks. When you get off a ride. When you come out, you got to walk through their gift store and buy some more of that trash.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why people go. That's
kids.
Kids.
That's for the experience.
And, and what I noticed, everybody I looked at, wasn't nobody smiling.
Yeah.
Nobody's smiling.
Because they was thinking about how much money they're going to have to recoup.
And the walking and standing in line and the kids, you know, kids get restless after a while. You can't.
Yep.
You know, after about 3 or 4 hours, I saw so many kids just knocked out in strollers.
Oh, yeah.
Just like,
plus, the kids probably only was excited for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you done spent $105, you're going to get this entire 80 acres for the gift shop.
We are staying. We're getting all
so my wife. My wife has this app on her phone that she was tracking how many miles you know, we did. Walking. We did 9 miles.
Walking through there,
Walking through there.
I believe
and I'll say this. I work with a guy, and he recently took his daughters to Disney World. He has 3 daughters. He said they did 17 miles.
Oh,
while they were there.
He did 17
while
he was carrying his daughter. Yeah. Strollers. Because you're like, I can't go any further, Dad.
Because you'll see kids in strollers, because they rent strollers. You'll see kids in strollers with their feet dragging. Like, he is too big to be in a stroller. But
how much did they rent the strollers for? $80?
Right, but, I mean, the kids, they done tapped out. It's over, so.
Dude, I went to, we went to visit some friends up in D.C. this weekend, and they've got a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old.
Woo, Jesus.
And we went down, you know, downtown D.C., went and checked out the Air and Space Museum. Man, just, and the kids, when they're cute, they're so damn cute.
Yeah.
But when that switch is flipped,
God.
I mean, when they get tired, and the 3-year-old, God bless her, at one point, she finally fell asleep in the stroller that was for the 8-month-old.
Oh, wow.
So we're carrying. I had the sling on. I was carrying the 8-month-old, but it was so funny because we got back to the car and we had taken two separate cars just for everybody to fit. So my wife and my friend's wife, they got in the car. They put the 8-month-old in the car and they were like, "All right, we're going home." And they left me and him with this sleeping 3-month-old in the stroller. And I could just see the look on his face, and he was just like, gotta wake her up and put her in the car. And I was thinking, well, how bad could it be? Just like, just pick her up. Like, hey, we're going home.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, trying to wrestle a wild badger.
Yeah, just
into
squirmy, just.
Yeah. No, I mean, into a Trader Joe's bag. I mean, she was just, I mean, for 10 minutes. I mean, we're just out in the parking lot just with a screaming.
Yeah. How young is it when it's considered abuse when you tap that bottom?
Yeah, you know what? Right. There was so much.
They start talking. I think once they start talking, you can let it go.
Calm down. Yeah. But it was funny because I was thinking that, like, why don't you go ahead and you get a little smack on that? Yeah, Peter, quiet.
Now, nobody has kids in this room that we know of.
No, I know of.
I find it, me not having children, I find it kind of annoying to be around young kids. I try not to be that way. They're cute about the first.
Those that aren't behaving.
That's a big thing.
Even if they are behaving, I got like five minutes.
I like well-behaved kids. I can sit and talk to them and have a conversation, but them demons.
Yeah. It's the ones, like, I volunteer for Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and I've got a little. He's 10 years old.
Right.
And I like him because I basically talk to him like an adult. Right. You know, like, yeah. You know, what do you want? You hungry? What do you want to do? And that's easy, you know, because I can talk to him. But, like, little kids, you're like, what do you want? You're just screaming.
Everything.
Use your words.
I'm horrible because one time my friend's kid started screaming. I just looked at him and started screaming back at him. I could go louder.
I've done that before.
I could go louder.
Then they get tired. Like, this ain't no fun.
It's amazing how quickly they get distracted, too. Like, they'll go from just screaming their head off, and then you're like, you want to watch a video on my phone? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and you're just like, you're like, okay, that did it. You know?
Like Joe Byers says, that's the new pacifier now.
It is, know? Man.
Yeah.
It is.
Before we get out of here, I want to talk a little about your improv. You improv out of Dad's Garage.
Yep.
And so, are you a regular? How does that work for the people listening who don't know a lot about improv? Because I give props to the improv people because that's not an easy thing to do and be good. Anybody can improv, but there's a difference between improv and good and improv and terribly.
Oh, yeah. Now, we do what we do at Dad's Garage is we do narrative storytelling improv. So all of our shows, we're improvising there on the spot. But we're trying to tell an overall story with an arc and things like that, even if the scene is only 3 minutes long.
Okay.
So, so we're basically getting a suggestion from the audience. We do a lot of themed shows. Like on Friday nights right now, we're doing this show called Murder, She Improvised. So it starts with five characters. There's a certain theme like Halloween, everybody was a monster of some fashion. This Friday night, we're doing I don't even know if I could say it. We're doing a Madea-inspired show this
Chris,
Friday
don't,
night.
Don't be Madea, Chris.
I know, I was like, the way you said it, I was like, wait, they got you in the wig already, don't they?
There's only,
Black men have sold out.
So there's only so many. But this thing, he's got enough black improvisers now as part of the company that all of us are doing the show Friday night.
Okay.
And Dad's, our artistic director, Kevin Galise, he's been working really hard because a lot of theaters, it's white guys doing improv.
Yeah.
So he's been really trying to, diversify the company. So we have, a lot of female improvisers. We have now, we have more black improvisers as part of our company.
What about my people?
We don't have an Asian yet.
Here we go. Let's do
it. We don't have an Asian.
Well, I gotta go. Don't I gotta go through the classes and everything?
Audition
or whatever. Yeah.
Well, you do. And it's only because if you've never done improv before, there's some training to it.
It's true.
And then each theater kind of does something a little different. So we do narrative improv. So you would go through our classes and kind of just learn. This is our take on how we do
it. Was more like long form Harold type stuff? Or?
We do some long form. We do a lot of short form too.
Okay.
And we also do a lot of scripted shows also.
Okay.
Our new Christmas show this year is going to be at the Alliance Theater this year, and that opens right after Thanksgiving. They tried us out last year, and I guess we brought enough of a crowd there that they want us to do our Christmas show there again. Because we're moving to our new building New Year's Eve.
That's right.
So it's I really, really enjoy it. And it's one of the things I originally started taking improv classes to help me with stand-up.
Me too.
And it kind of took me in this direction that I really wasn't anticipating.
Okay.
Our group within Dad's Garage, the Black Improvisers, we formed our own group called Dark Side of the Room.
Okay.
And we do shows. And we just, this summer, we went and did the Toronto Improv Festival and the Improv Festival up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where we're like, all right, let's go try something outside of Atlanta. Dude, we went and did Vancouver and for our show had a packed theater of over 200 people.
Nice. Oh, wow.
That came, you know, because we were just like, all right, let's go, you know, let's see it. Because up there, they're like, oh, here's, you know, this group of, you know, black improvisers. And, you know, it's Canada. You know, they're not in the, any of us, barely any up there. So, yeah, so, like, people came out. And it was just one of those things of, like, and I think the week prior, I'd gone to do an open mic for, like, three people. Uh-huh. And then I went up to, like, Vancouver. I'm like, all right, what's this going to be? And, like, it
packed out.
Dude, it, like, I walked out on stage, and for a second, I was like,
no.
Hang on. But real quick, man, you said dark side of the room?
Dark side of the room, yeah.
So, if Young Beige wanted to join, he's technically too light-skinned to join.
No, he's still dark, side
Leave
of the room.
Leave it up to Steve. Leave it up
to I got Steve. A better tan than you do right now.
I do want to know this. You spoke about the traveling that you've done.
Yeah.
So compared to stand-up comedy where you get booked to do weeks in comedy clubs,
mm-hmm.
how do you still do that? Because I sent out some emails, and Austin's a really big improv.
Yeah.
And I was sending some emails out to some clubs, and it's like we're primarily improv.
Improv,
so
do
you guys, like, once you're in the – is there an improv circuit where you travel? Like,
yeah. There's a lot of improv festivals. Like, we do a lot of improv festivals. Like, North Carolina has a comedy festival,
yep.
and they have an improv week.
Mm-hmm. I did that back in 2010.
Yeah, we do a lot of sketch festivals because we also develop sketch shows. So, yeah, there is kind of a circuit. Canada and Europe are huge in improv, more so than the U.S.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of opportunities. If you've got a good group and you have the means to travel to some of these places, you can go, you know, we did Canada this summer. It was our first trip to get a taste of it. And we were like, okay, we got to come back here. And then we've had some teams that have gone over to Europe and done shows.
So would your group get booked to do those things?
Yeah.
Or you have to come out of your pocket?
No, we got booked for them. The first one, Toronto, Dad's Garage paid for us to go.
Mm-hmm.
Vancouver, we did on our own and just kind of finagled our own travel and everything else. We went there purely for the show, mm-hmm. just to do it. But there's ways you can do extended runs. You can teach workshops, classes while you're there, and, you know, kind of recoup, you know, some of your travel money, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's lots of opportunities out there within other theaters to go and perform. And it's a network, just like stand up. It's one of those things, you know, once you go out and you start doing things, then if, you know, Dad's Garage kind of has a good name across the US and over in Europe, that now if I'm in town somewhere and I find the improv theater, I can say, you know, hey, I'm from Atlanta, Dad's Garage, I'm, you know, in town. If you have a show, I'd love to jump in, you know, and just perform with you guys. Because we, at Dad's Garage, we have people here, you know, they're coming through from wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're in town. So we're like, yeah, they put them in a show with us, you know, and just kind of promote them as, you know. As
so do you get anybody from out of town that's kind of faking a funk, like not that good, and you might have threw them in a show, they gave you all these credentials and I did this, I did that, and they get on stage and you be like, where did
and that's the thing, like with improv too, is like if somebody does come across and they're like, oh yeah, perform with, you know, such and such, Dad's Garage has, they kind of have the connections where they're like, all right, let's give, you know, oh, you're from DC, all right, yeah. And, you know, they'll contact, you know, people up in D.C. You ever heard of this person?
Yeah.
You know, they ever, and then you find out, like, yeah, they just took our level one class. They're like, we got you.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, nah, man, we don't put people in the show.
Yeah.
We're full
up with,
you
all
know,
kind of stories.
Yeah. But we also get people coming through, like, you know, Tim Meadows, you know, will come and do shows with us.
Oh,
Colin Mockery, Aisha Tyler.
I just had a biggest crush on her.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah. Oh, yeah, man. She's... Yeah, I still have one. Dude, she came through for our last show we did over at the Fox, you know, and I was just like,
yeah. What you talking about?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
You know, so when I took improv, this was 10 years ago, and I did it to get over stage fright.
Mm-hmm.
What is the correlation between improv and yoga? Like, yoga is very popular to get warmed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got tired of getting into cat and all that crap.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Do y'all do that at Dad's Garage to get warmed up, or yoga, or what is your warm-up routine if you have one?
We don't really do that. I know some other theaters have kind of done like a yoga. You went to like Whole World Theater.
Yeah,
one of those.
World, yeah.
No, we do like some quick like mental warm-up games, you know, just to kind of get our minds going like before a show. Like we'll do a game like called Limericks where we kind of go around the circle. Everybody has a line and you're building a limerick or, you know, word at a time story, like something just to get you thinking quickly and not trying to judge. You're just saying the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Because really that's what you want to do. You want to respond in the moment and you're not really trying to think of a joke. And some people are just joke machines. They think in punchlines and they can spit it. I'm actually not like that on improv. I might think of something in the moment that turns out to be funny, but 5 seconds prior, I didn't think it just came up at that time.
I think that's the hardest part of being a comedian trying to do improv is because as a comedian, you're trying to make them laugh. But in improv, the rule is you're supposed to just let things happen and the laughter will come eventually.
Oh, yeah. And the laughter comes, I mean, a lot of the laughter comes from the situation, is, you know, where you're playing a character that's just ridiculous, but you're trying to play that character as real as possible. You know, but they're in a serious situation, and that's where the humor comes from. So you kind of want to just try and stay in it. And sometimes, like, I mean, it's funny, you know.
Scene, he just got AIDS from Charlie Sheen, and he's happy.
Oh, man.
Damn.
You know, that yoga stuff really helped. When we was the class clowns, we took Bob's improv class down at the Relapse.
Yeah.
And we would do certain exercises with the breathing and stuff and the stretching. And I noticed for me what it did, it alleviated a lot of the mental anxiety that you would have. So I started incorporating that to some of my shows that are really important that I'm really nervous at. Like, I'll be in a green room somewhere like, breathing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing about smoking cigarettes. It's not the cigarette that de-stresses you, it's your breathing. That's what it is. You just happen to get hooked on the nicotine and the chemicals that's in the cigarette.
Yeah. Some of the lessons I've really taken from improv is it really gives you the confidence of, you know, because I especially with stand-up, I used to get so much anxiety because I'm trying to memorize, a joke I've written.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of on script a little bit. But it's one of those things where you're going on stage each night with nothing. Mm-hmm. And you're making people laugh. So it kind of gives you that confidence of, you know, taking that back to stand-up of, okay, I'm going to go up here. I've got these jokes. I may think of something in the moment, but I know I can be funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even if, instead of just kind of being the nervous, I'm going through my material. Oh, let's just play. Let's just be silly. You know, if I say a joke and it's not working, let's all acknowledge it's not working.
And move on.
Yeah, and maybe that'll take my brain somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'm trying to do now, for stand-up, and it's so hard to do it in like 5-minute chunks, is to try and improvise a little bit on stage. You know, have a joke, but, you know, maybe I don't have a tag. Maybe something happens in the room that, you know, you're writing a little bit on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying to do that with new stuff just in doses. And if I find something, and that's why I might keep, record all your sets, because you'll say it minutes later, I forgot completely what I said. Yep. So make sure you record it and then write that down. Then that becomes now your new tag or something. But it's just kind of hard to do it. Some people like Rory Scovel, he can get up there and improvise for 15, 20 minutes at a time. But, you know, he's kind of got the crowd on his side already where they'll sit through it, and enjoy it. So no, I haven't reached that point yet. I'm like, let me just do it in little doses, you know.
I saw that Bill Burr does that sometimes. Like, he did this joke about, he was talking, it was back when Chris Brown and Rihanna was fresh. He was like, he said, I don't like when people say that there's never a reason to hit a woman.
Yeah.
He said, really? There's not one reason why.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not saying to hit a woman.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of reasons.
Yeah.
And as he was going through that bit, like, people started getting quiet. And he said, see, look at you. Why are you quiet?
Yeah.
And then he made a joke off of them being quiet.
Yeah.
Which brought back.
Yeah. He actually said something I've heard him say a couple of times in interviews. And I used to hear comics say it, and I used to think it was bullshit. But he was saying he doesn't he writes his jokes, but he doesn't, you know, write them down like before the show or anything like that. Because, and I've found myself doing it, when there's a joke I have written, I'm kind of saying a script.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you kind of know the joke, like telling a story to friends,
yeah.
You know the story. Yeah, you might forget to say, oh, I didn't tell you that little piece, but you know the general part of the story. And so then when you get on stage, you're loose. You're kind of in, you know, a little bit in the moment, and you're not so stiff and just like reciting the lines of a script. And he said he doesn't write his jokes down, and I forget who taught him that. So he has his jokes, and he kind of, you know, he knows the punchline. He knows the setup. He knows the punchline. And he'll play in there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's like, I know where I'm going to take you eventually, but and he might think of something in the moment that, mm-hmm. you know, makes it better, and then you'll see him in the next show, and you'll see how he changed the joke.
Mm-hmm.
I find that really interesting, but I have a horrible memory, so I'm always like, I'm going to forget something.
I write my joke once, and then over the progression of time,
yeah.
When I go back and look at it, I'm like, I don't even say it like that no more.
Yeah.
But I said that's like my blueprint.
Yeah.
Your foundation. Then
yeah.
When you get it perfected, you write it down again.
Yeah. I still don't
write
it down.
Well, you come back a few months later, and you might not even say it.
Yeah.
Once you got it perfected,
the
joke never stops growing. If it stops growing, you might as well stop comedy. You never finish with a joke.
So many
opportunities.
I love that evolution of something.
Yeah.
Like, I
yeah.
love to see. And that's kind of, that's one of the things that I do get excited about in Atlanta, like, sometimes, you know, you're like, I don't want to sit through another open mic. But if there's somebody you know, and like, I like when they try something new.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's a new joke. And now I may not see them again for 3 months. And then you see them and you're like, oh, that's how you've changed that.
Yeah,
like now, you know, but it's like, you could, I remember how it started. It wasn't that great. And now it's like, bang. Like, whoa, you, okay. I like what you did.
Unless you're stealing.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing. Sometimes you could tell, like, if you're like, that joke doesn't sound like it evolved. You know?
Sounds like it already came prepackaged.
Yeah, exactly.
Just add water.
Yeah. How did you come up with that thought?
Well, cool, man. We're running out of time here. So, Chris, tell the people where they can find you on social media, things you got going on coming up.
Oh, yeah. Chris Gray at Twitter, chrisgray.com. You can always check out Dad's Garage. I'm usually in shows there just about every weekend. Our New Year's Eve show is coming up. We're moving into our new building, our new theater over in Old Fourth Ward. So December 31st.
What's the address? You know the address?
I don't know the address. We're right behind Amaza Pizza in Old Fourth Ward. But yeah, hit dadsgarage.com. Come check it out. And then, I'll be in the first scripted show at our new theater. And starting in January, it's actually a scripted show written by the female writers and members of our company.
Okay.
And I'm one of the few guys that's actually in it.
Well, cool. So all the people listening online, we'd like to thank you for listening. All the people who will be listening to the archive show, we thank you again for listening. We're here every Tuesday, 8:00. On Blog Talk Radio. Next week, we have Drew Thomas from The Last Comic Standing, so you probably don't want to miss that. Yeah,
awesome.
For real. Oh, we in the
like
building,
Drew. Son. We in the building.
But check us out next week, man. Have a great rest of the week. And until next time, we'll talk to you later. Peace. You listen to the Keno Trice Show.
9 a.m. in the morning. It's 9 a.m. in the morning. It is. It's 9 a.m. in the morning.
Y'all know who it is. J. Royal.
You know you're special. You know you're
special. What's up, boo? What you up to? Is you missing me like I'm missing you? You're on my mind, but I'm stuck on you. Did you get them roses that I sent for you? I'm down for you, and you know it, boo. Even though we argue, we still cool. You're my best friend. You're my better half. You're my heart and soul. Shawty, do the math. Girl, it's me and you and nobody else. Can't do this thing all by myself. Without your love, it's bad for my health. And I don't need the money, because your love is wealth. Because you, babe, and I love you, girl. You're my heart, you're my soul, you're my whole world.
I love your lips and the way they taste. Girl, it's super glue when we face to face.
And girl, you know you can't be replaced. Because you number one, you get first place.
I love hugging you from your waist. You my sunshine on a rainy day. And truth is, you the truth, babe. And I put that on everything. You was meant for me and I was made for you. We a match made in heaven, boo.
Hey, I love everything. Cause the love that I feel for you.
stress you out. I wanna lay you down and spend time alone. From the AM to the PM, I wanna talk to you on my iPhone. And whenever you need me, boo, you know that I'll be there for you. Bae, I got mad love for you. And yes, I truly care for you. Right? And yeah, we so official, bae. I don't second guess about you and I. Cause you know you my type of girl. And I know I'm your type of guy. You love something I can't deny. I love it when you close to me. Kiss me for the one time. And I swear you made my knees weak. Right? And I ain't trying to play no games. What we have is real, so I'ma treat you right. Hold you down with tight hugs. And kiss you right with lip bites. And even when I'm on the ground, I post pics of us every single day. You're not my WCW, you're my woman crush every single day.
I love everything you do. Ain't no one do for me. And you the love that I feel for you. It's true. When I wake up from my dream, you're the one I see.
Hey,
you.
Hey, you.
Hey, you.
Hey, you. Wanna hold you close to me. I just gotta let you know that, baby, you were meant for me. And I wanna be your everything. Cause the love that I feel for you is true. And shawty, you my everything.
Now you got someone and they treating you right. Say yeah. Said if you got someone and they treating you right. Say yeah, 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 yeah. Said if you got someone and they treating you right. Say yeah.
From my dream, you're the one I see, and I am, and I am, and I am. Shawty, you was meant for me, waking up to me at night.
You know you're special.